Okay, let's move on. So you're in for a treat this evening. Today, the sort of theme for today is worry. And I thought, as a salesperson myself, I thought that's a bit of a hard sell. Why don't you come to church with us and come to a fun evening event? We're going to be talking about worry. On the serious side, when do we ever talk about worry? Do we talk to our friends? Possibly family? Yes, maybe. But do we talk about it in general? Probably not. So actually, what do people talk about when, or what do they think about, or how do we deal with that in our own lives? So what I did, I looked up on Google, and this is what I found on the first page of Google when I Googled worry. So it came up with a few sort of quotes, first of all. These are the ones, I didn't pick them all from the first page. I picked a few just from the first page. So, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. Another one was, being scared means you're about to do something really, really brave. I choose to make the rest of my life the best of my life. I like that one. And then there's a few more. I couldn't believe it when I was looking that the Bible made the first page. So it said, this is copy and pasted from Google. So one of the more comforting passages from the teaching of Jesus found in Luke, where Jesus commands his listeners not to worry about the concerns of life, for God will take care of them. And I was surprised to find it on the first page. And then the last one was, worrying doesn't take away, does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. So I'm going to invite my friend, Fiona. We're going to have a little chat with Fiona. Let's turn your mic on. That should do it. And we can just have a little chat about some things that have been going on in your life.
It's supposed to be a famous person up here, really, isn't it? Not just me.
I'm supposed to be, you know, a good interviewer.
Right, okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I said Michael Parkinson, but more like Terry Wogan, maybe. So, okay. Well, so first of all, Fiona, tell us a little bit about yourself and... I know you've been coming to the church even longer than me.
I know. I'm that antique. So I've been coming for 65 years. I can actually say I've been a bit longer than that because I actually came when my mum was pregnant with me and she was teaching in Sunday school. So I said that I came to church before I was born. I've been part of this family, and I was brought up in a loving Christian family, but it didn't make me a Christian. It wasn't something that my parents could do or my siblings could do. You have to do that for yourself, really. I have a very long-suffering husband. And God gave us the gift of two very special twin daughters who bring their own unique understanding on life, all of which I love very much.
Perfect. Yes, tell me about that. So, a few years ago, you had a diagnosis and that you would naturally have a worry about, and this is what we're talking about. Can you tell us a bit more about what that was?
Yeah, I had a diagnosis of breast cancer about 8 years ago. It's quite a common thing now. There's lots of people that get it, but it comes with a number of worries and challenges, like mastectomy, chemo, no hair. God gave me a sense of humour with that. I did have some very weird wigs. And, of course, radiotherapy. But in spite of all these things, I had a really strong sense that I was cared for by God. My family and the church family here. I'm not saying it was all a bed of roses. It certainly wasn't. But I was confident that God had a plan. And his plans are perfect.
You make me emotional now. So, you got over that.
Yep.
And you can feel blessed that you were through that. So then you're all okay now, yeah? Everything's okay. Or did something else happen?
Well, last year, it was about this time last year, I had a heart attack, which was totally out of the blue. Things were a bit touch and go for a few days. And it was quite uncertain as to how things would turn out. It's at times like these that I find that you feel God much nearer to you. I really felt at peace about the future, and above all, I was confident that I knew where I was going when I died. I still had to rely, I still have to rely on, trust God for every day with the little things and the big things. Being a Christian doesn't stop you from having worries and difficulties, but he does promise to be with you and give you peace.
Now that's really amazing because you know, you could just say, you know, why me? Why me? Why has that happened? Why have you, God, done this to me?
I could have said that, but why not me? Because it affects so many people, and Christians aren't exempt from cancer or any other thing, or heart attacks.
Yeah, or worry.
Or worry.
And I can say with confidence that 100% of us here all worry and will worry and will have worries. So how did your faith help you with that?
Well, it made me stronger. It made me trust more. I think trust is a really hard thing to do. I think trust comes as you grow in Christ. I think you trust God when you're a new Christian with the little things, and then gradually as you get older and you've been through the Christian faith, you know absolutely 100% that you can trust God. And I've seen that so many times over those 65 years. It's amazing.
And you got a verse that you looked at in those times from the Bible?
Right, yeah. The verse that I had when I had breast cancer, which meant a lot to me, was on my bedroom wall at home when I was growing up. It was 1 Peter 5:7. And the verse was, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I remember it was a bit of an old-fashioned picture up on my bedroom wall, which I shared with my granny. And it just switched when I knew that I had breast cancer and the things that you have to go through. And you don't know what's going to happen to you. They say, chemo. Well, what does that mean? You know, it doesn't mean anything unless you go through it. Well, actually, it was pretty horrible, really. Nothing tasted right, nothing at all. It was horrible. So, and it just made you feel like a bag of bones. And another verse, sorry Barnaby, you did say one verse, I've got three. Another verse, which in fact, that's that one. Yeah, it was another verse that really spoke to me when I had my heart attack. And that was, be still. Oh, no, that's not the one. It's the one before that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that really did. That really, really did mean an awful lot. And the other verse, which is actually one that your lovely wife gave me. And it says in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And that was really good, because I was at home on my own, Roland was working, the girls were busy, and it was really nice and really special to know that God was there. And I put it up on the bathroom door, so every time I went to the loo, it was there. And it's still there today, as a reminder. And the very, very last thing I want to bring is peace. It doesn't mean in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means in the middle of all these things, we still have peace.
Thank you, Fiona. Really brave, amazing story. I really appreciate you coming up and doing that.
No problem.
I'll grab that from you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Fiona.
My point of connection with, so if you haven't seen this from the Paddington film and Mr. Brown, he drives into the hospital on a Harley Davidson, I think it is, a motorbike. He says, nothing is going to change this. And then on the way out, he's driving the most boring and safe car imaginable, a beige Volvo. And my connection, and Paul mentioned his, mine was bringing our first child to church. And everyone seemed to want a little cuddle. And I was like, no way. You know, there are bugs. So I stood over Tabitha like a bouncer. like this. I don't know if anyone else can resonate with that at all. Points of a particular change when you suddenly start worrying. So we're thinking about worry this evening. What is? Let me just talk a little bit about what worry is. And you can think about the storms out there and then the storms in here. So the storms out there, a financial crash, the coronavirus, sorry to mention the C word, but do you remember when Corona was just a beer? And crime on our high streets, and that's the kind of thing that raises our anxiety, children's mental health issues, and the conflict right now, of course, going on, that's escalating, and it's just terrible as we read our news feed. There are storms out there, and that it's worth just saying, we don't want to over-exaggerate those, because there have been times in history that have been even more turbulent. There is sometimes a time, I think, to switch off the news feed because it just makes it so immediate. Okay, and we could talk about technology and how that stimulates our worries. There's lots that's good about living today. Like, we're not dependent on the harvest to know whether we can feed ourselves at all. But there are storms out there, and that creates storms in here, what we feel as anxiety and worry. And sometimes you can actually feel your insides churning. And by the way, if that happens all the time for you, even when there's nothing particularly bad going on, and you're always blowing things out of proportion, and you really can't function, then you might be experiencing clinical anxiety. Apparently, 8 million people in the UK are. And if that's the case, then I think what we're looking at today will help, but you also need to get some help and support from family, go and see a GP and that sort of thing. I'm going to be speaking particularly about normal levels of anxiety. And the question is, how do we cope? And is there any hope out there for us? And I just want to share some words from Jesus from 2,000 years ago, his advice on worry, which you can actually find on these cards, which just gives a small bit of the passage that, or a similar passage to the one that Paul shared earlier. And then we'll have time for questions. Okay, the way to submit questions is you can text that number up there, or you can use those little red, little yellow sheets of paper down there. So here's Jesus' advice on worry. And he says this, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you his kingdom." Now, Christians believe that this is God himself speaking, that Jesus is God come into this world of worry as a man. And this morning in church, we talked about how Jesus, right from birth, was in danger. He was a refugee, and he was desperately poor. And as he grew up, he was homeless and mistreated, and eventually he was killed. So it's really interesting that his first words there are, "Do not be afraid." Because Jesus gets it. God gets that human life is full of fear. And the first way that Jesus says, it's a slightly surprising thing, but the first thing he says to us in terms of handling fear is that you need to admit and to know that you're a little flock. Okay, that you're a little flock. I wonder if you like hearing that. Do not be afraid, little flock. Sounds really sort of patronizing, doesn't it? Like, come on, Jesus, we're grown-ups, we're copers. We can handle life. To which I think Jesus would say, "You're sheep." a group of sheep that are a bit scattered on the mountainside, and they're running out of grass, and the storm clouds are gathering, and there are wolves prowling around, picking off any stragglers who think, "Well, I can do it on my own." And so what do? They all huddle together. We need a shepherd. And Jesus is saying, we're like that. Okay, we might feel really strong and independent and so on, but actually that is us. And that might sound insulting, but isn't there a little bit inside all of us that's like a little child that just wants to go and curl up under the duvet cover sometimes? Maybe it's just me. I'm pretty sure we're all like that. Or that just wants to jump onto mum's lap again and have a hug and hide away from the world. Because we're little. And it's actually quite freeing to admit that. The first step in Alcoholics Anonymous is we admit that we're powerless by ourselves. So long as you think that you're strong and you can manage away from other people and God, then you are alone in the universe. And that is quite a frightening thing. I remember heading away from university for university full of confidence that I didn't need mum and dad. 2 weeks later, "Mum, I've run out of pants. How does the washing machine work?" You see, because we're made to be together. We're a flock. And that's one of the reasons why we all got much more anxious during COVID, because we're on our own too much. It's why a teenager shutting themselves in their room away from all the trouble of the world doesn't actually get less anxious. They get more anxious, right? Because we're made for community. A friend of mine in his 20s decided to try church out, and so he joined something a bit like our home groups here at the Tab, where a group of eight or so will meet in a home together quite regularly to share trouble and pray and support each other. Now in his 30s, and my friend no longer goes to church, but he has started some counselling. And he said to me very recently, he said, "It's interesting looking back, because what I suppose I got from counselling, what I suppose I get from counselling now is someone to listen to me, support me, and a place to admit my weaknesses. I just have to pay quite a lot for that. And actually, all of that was there in the church, in that group I was a part of. But you see what he's discovered? We're meant to be a flock, and we need to admit that. That's the first tip that Jesus gives. The second thing he's saying in this little verse, as we look down, is that we need to trust the shepherd and father. Other sheep, other people can't help us that much. But what if there's a shepherd over the universe? Other people can't protect you when life gets really tough. But what if there's a father in heaven? Now, I'm conscious there might be somebody here who says, well, I don't believe in God at all today. You've got big questions. I'd love you to ask those questions later on. But what I'm asking you to consider for a moment is, what if there is not just a vague idea of something up there? That's actually not going to help you with your anxieties. But what if God is, like Jesus says, a shepherd and a father? Because the Bible says that we weren't made to do life and the trouble of life and death, and to face eternity alone. We were meant to be led and loved, protected and provided for by God. A good shepherd who loves us so much that he laid down his life for us. And that's what Jesus did at the cross for us. And the Bible says, again, we weren't meant to be alone. We were meant to be part of God's family, his forever family, where all human families eventually fall apart. We're meant to be part of his forever family. And to call God Father, and some of us have had pretty terrible fathers, but God is the Father you've always wanted to have. And the universe is in his hands, and we're meant to do life, walking life through with a father and a shepherd. And I just wonder, could it be that a big reason why there's so much anxiety, and it's a complicated issue, okay, it's a really complicated issue, but could it be that a big reason why there's so much anxiety is that we've lost that as a society? On the screen is a really famous part of the Bible. I'm going to read it for us. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil." Notice Christians do walk through the darkest valley sometimes. "But I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Okay, they're beautiful words, aren't they? They're really comforting. And pretty much any funeral you go to, whether it's somebody who's a churchgoer or not, people want these words because there's nothing like it. Right. What about if we take God out of the picture? Here's how it reads. "There is no shepherd. I have to make things work myself. No one to provide for me or lead me. No one who can bring peace to my soul. No right or wrong at all. Just what I make up. And when I walk through the darkest valley, which I will, I walk it on my own. So, yes, I fear. For there's no one with me. No support or comfort. My enemies will probably win. No love and goodness follow me. Because life is just pointless chance. And when I die, that's it." And do you see, that is where we are without God. I'm sorry that sort of feels really stark, but it's just the logical position, isn't it? There is no shepherd. Now, this morning we looked at these two pictures of the world. Okay, so we thought about the story of the world without God, that everything came from just a random bang, and then a process of the strong beating the weak, and there's no meaning to that, right down to us, and we live for a short time, then we die, and that's it. And we contrasted that with the Christian view of the world, that however it worked, we're created by God with meaning and purpose, and he's in control of everything. But the world's broken, and yes, that means our lives are a bit of a mess, and that's why there's things things that are fearful in this world. But Jesus broke into the world and he came and died to save us. And then he rose again. And just as you're going to get to put some questions to me in a moment, my one question to you, if we have the next, that's the question, okay? Which of those two pictures can give us more peace in our worries? Which can give us more peace? You know, a number of psychological studies have actually proved that with real church-going faith, so not just some sort of vague belief, but with real, regular church-going faith comes better mental health. That's not perfect, okay? I'm not saying it's always the case, but the studies show that statistically there's a huge improvement there. That doesn't make Christianity true, but it should stop us thinking this is useless. You know, I don't need it, because there's scientific evidence. And, of course, many people at the tab, like Fiona sharing her story, can tell you about that difference. So Jesus' tips on worry. Admit you're a little flock. Trust the shepherd. Finally, before we have some questions, receive the gift you can never lose. That's the third thing that Jesus says here. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you his kingdom. Now imagine a child in your garden building a base. Our kids are always doing this, you know, a bit of cardboard, a few sticks, propping it up. And they're trying to make it waterproof with leaves and things like that. So they spend hours and hours doing this. But there's a kind of lancing storm coming on. We've just been here 2 years and we just keep getting caught out by the wind and the gusts. And so they're getting really worried in the garden as the rain's coming in. And the walls are blowing down, the roof's coming off. What do you say to them? Do not be afraid, little children, because your dad owns this house and it's stormproof. And it doesn't work quite so well for us because we don't own the house and there's a few tiles coming off the roof and so on. But you get the illustration. That's what Jesus is saying to his friends, right? Okay? As this world seems like it's sort of blowing apart a little bit, he's saying, don't worry, because I own eternity. God's kingdom means God's perfect forever home in heaven, a future where there's nothing bad or fearful and only good, nothing to make us afraid. And Jesus says that God has just been pleased to just give that to us. He's just given it to us. And that's the Christian message, that we don't earn heaven by being good. That was the message. I would live in so much anxiety because I'd never make it in. I couldn't sleep at night. But that is not what Jesus says, does he? He doesn't say, well, you need to earn the way into heaven. He says, it's free. Your Father's just so pleased to give it to you. It costs us nothing because it costs Jesus everything as he died on the cross. And you might like to ask a little bit more about how that works later. But Jesus is saying to his friends, your Father has been pleased to give you his kingdom. And so you might lose your homes or your jobs or even your lives following me, and many did. But you have something more valuable that can never be taken away, never. Do you see the difference that can make for us as that goes from here into here? That doesn't mean Christians aren't concerned about our health, the environment, the future of our children and world peace. The church invented hospitals and schools and food banks. We should get involved. We should pray for the world and what's going on at the moment in the Middle East. But we don't panic, because our hope goes beyond this life to the next. Goes beyond this world to the next world. And we are in possession of a gift that we can never lose. So wow, the peace that gives us. The security, the hope. And that's just what I want for all of us here. So thanks very much for listening. And I think we're going to have a little bit of music just while we want to, if you want to text in a question, then you're very welcome to do that. And if you want to write down a question, you're welcome to do that. If you need to leave because it's 8:15, then we understand that as well. But we'll just run on for 10 minutes so that anyone can ask any question that they like. I think I'll call us back to order. And it's a small enough gathering that if someone just wants to ask a question from the floor, then of course they can. I have one question, but does anyone else have one that they want to text in? I might just suggest that person just comes and finds me. Does anyone want to ask another question? Okay. A few questions I thought of in preparing as well were something to do with mental health and how Christians should think about that. If you want to come and talk to me about that, that might be a question that's just in someone's head. How can we trust God when we can't see him? And reading the news, should we read the news? That's something that I was just chewing on. No, says Ian, never. So those are some things. Perhaps you might want to just chew on some of those questions as you go. But I'm going to wrap up our evening, I think, at this point. Let me just suggest three things that you can do to take this further. If you want to, there's a free book by the door if you're a guest. So not Tab Folk, but anyone else. It's a free book by the door. Do just join us on a Sunday morning. And then we're starting a little basic Christianity course, and that's going to be running on Sunday evenings in 2 weeks' time. Okay? So not this week, not next week, the week after, in the evening. Okay, and if you'd like to join that, let me know. Thank you very much indeed for coming.